Please open your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. A conversation is the exchange of thoughts and ideas between two or more people through the spoken word. Conversations can be silly, they can be superficial. Sometimes they are sublime. They might be sobering and serious. There are a lot of important conversations that you will have in your life, but the most important conversation a person can have is a gospel conversation. A gospel conversation is talking with another person about the good news that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, and all that means for our lives. My goal today is to encourage everyone here to have a gospel conversation. Christians can have gospel conversations with other Christians because we need to remind each other that Jesus is our Savior who loves us. He bought us with His blood and we belong to Him. That He is our Lord, that we owe Him our faith and devotion and allegiance. We need to remind each other to have faith and trust and to be disciples. So Christians can have gospel conversations with one another, and we need to have frequent gospel conversations with each other. But today I want to think particularly of having gospel conversations between Christians and non-Christians. This morning, if you are a Christian, at the end of the sermon, I hope that you will make the commitment to have a gospel conversation with other people weekly, if not daily. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, first of all, I want you to know we're so glad that you're here, and you're always welcome to be here. At the end of the sermon today, if you are not a Christian, my hope for you is that you will grab one of these Christians around you and say, I'd like to talk about this gospel thing the preacher talked about. I hope that you'll do that before you leave the building today. So as we think about having gospel conversations, we turn our focus to God's Word because it is the rule and guide for our faith and practice. It teaches us how we ought to live, what we ought to believe. And we turn to Scripture so that we can learn how to have these gospel conversations. And we turn to the best person in Scripture to think about. We look at the life of Jesus. John chapter 4, I hope you found your place in your copy of Scripture. And if you have, would you please stand if you're willing and able as we read our sermon text this morning. John 4, verses 1 to 14. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that He was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but His disciples. So He left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now He had to go through Samaria. So He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as He was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, "You're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, The water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, again for your word. Teach us now that we might live as you would have us to live, that we might learn to share this good news of the living water that quenches the thirst of so many souls. May we share this living water with all of those who are desperate to find it, even if they don't know what it is. I pray that you would help me to faithfully and accurately preach, and I pray that your people would hear, and I pray your Spirit would accomplish all you intend in the service today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The key words in my sermon today spell the name Bob. B-O-B. So I want you to think of Bob. It could be anybody. All right? I want you to think of imaginary Bob here. A neighbor, a friend, a family member, a coworker, a stranger. Someone you bump into occasionally. I want you to think of imaginary Bob. And I want you to think about how you could have a gospel conversation with him. B-O-B. The first word is burden. You must have a burden to share the gospel with the lost. If you're going to have a gospel conversation with Bob, you have to have a burden for Bob. You have to care about Bob. You have to love Bob, or you'll never share the gospel with him. Here in John chapter 4, Jesus engages in a conversation with a Samaritan woman. He shares the good news with her. It was an unlikely encounter. On one hand, Jesus was tired from his journey. He was taking a rest. He was waiting on his disciples to bring back lunch. And I don't know what you're like when you're tired and weary and hungry, but I'm not the most fun conversationalist to be around. There's all kinds of reasons why Jesus could have just ignored this woman, just focused on himself, just kept his eyes closed, pulled his hat down over his eyes, and stayed quiet and stayed to himself. But he didn't. Jesus had a burden for this woman, and so he ignored his own comfort and his own quiet time, and he engaged with her. You know, there's another reason why Jesus could have ignored talking to her. I mean, the woman says it herself. She says, well, who do you think you are to talk to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We don't like each other. We don't have anything to do with each other. You know, it's like, you know, you're going through Menards or something, and you come around a corner and you bump into somebody wearing a Cards hat, and you're like, oh, I don't want to talk to you, you know, or vice versa. You know, it could be something like, you know, she's saying, hey, we're rivals. We're at enmity with each other. You're from that side of town, I'm from this side of town. We don't interact. What are you doing talking to me? Jesus could have said, hey, I'm not going to talk to this woman, and she wouldn't have thought a thing of it. But Jesus had a burden for her. And he wasn't going to let his personal comfort or even discomfort, and he wasn't going to let societal pressures keep him from engaging with her, because he saw her and saw that she needed what he had to offer. So Jesus broke through ethnic and social and comfort barriers to initiate this conversation with her. Jesus came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came out of love for a world that was perishing. He was driven and compelled by love for the lost. He was burdened and he had to do something. And I want to know, Christian, do you share in Jesus' burden? When you look out on the masses of people, when you cross paths with people in the course of your life, does your heart break for broken people. When you encounter Bob, do you see him as a person for whom Jesus came into this world to shed his blood on the cross, to die for him and give him salvation? And do you see Bob as a person who without Christ has no hope and is completely helpless? Does that move you to compassion? Do you care? Does it burden you that there are people in our community that don't love the Lord and they dishonor Him by their unbelief and rebellion? Does it cause you inward pain to know that the people that you cross paths with on a regular basis are hostile toward God and they need to hear that God is love and God is the King and He should rule and reign over them? Do you care? Do you have a burden? Sharing the gospel is not easy. Sitting down and talking to somebody about the most intimate reality in their lives, their relationship with their Creator, is not something that comes naturally. Every fiber of your being is going to struggle and fight against it. It is a supernatural work of God's Holy Spirit in you that moves you and empowers you to share, because quite frankly, it makes us uncomfortable. And in our natural condition, we don't share until we are burdened enough to say, I'm willing to get out of my comfort zone. I care enough about God and His reputation in the world. I care enough about God and His kingdom and Christ's honor and glory that I don't care if people dismiss me or mock me or look at me like I'm a weirdo. I'm still going to speak up. And I'm going to speak to this person because I see them as somebody who desperately needs Jesus. Do you have a burden today? Do you have a burden for Bob? Number two, the second letter in Bob's name stands for opportunity. You have to have a burden, and then you got to have an opportunity to talk. You must have an opportunity to share the gospel with the lost. Paul wrote in Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. You know, the greatest good that you can do, there are a lot of good things. I told you about one earlier. You can do good by helping out with senior meals. That's a good thing to do. It's good to go visit nursing homes. That's a great thing to do. It's good to visit the sick and those who are hurting. It's good to put your arm around somebody who's grieving. Those are all good things. We should do those things. The greatest good that you can do is to share the gospel, to have a gospel conversation with people, because the greatest need that all of us have is to know the Lord. So, as we have the opportunity, we need to engage in this great good task that the Lord has called us to. As Jesus was sitting beside the well, the opportunity presented itself for Him to have a conversation with this woman. He didn't have the opportunity until she showed up. He didn't have the opportunity until they crossed paths, but when they did, an opportunity came. Through the course of your life, on a day-to-day basis, you will have many opportunities to share the gospel, to have a gospel conversation. The problem is, we don't always recognize the opportunities. I don't know if you're like me, but there have been plenty of times that I have had an encounter with a person, they've said something, and they kind of caught me off guard. Maybe they said something like, oh man, my life is just tough, and things aren't going my way. I said, oh, I'm really sorry about that. I hope things get better for you. And then I kind of go off on my own way. Why? Because I'm not as burdened as I ought to be. If I was burdened, I would be more aware of the opportunities. And after it's all said and done, I kind of go off and like, oh man, that was a great opportunity right there to talk to this person, to have a conversation about the gospel with them. But I missed it. Opportunities come when we are selfless. When we think of ourselves less and we think of other people more. Yesterday, we were standing in line at Menards to buy new power strip surge protectors. And there were only two lines open at Menards. And so they were way backed up. Oh, man, I hate standing in line. And here I am, I'm surrounded by all these people. You know, the only thing I can think of? The only thing I can think of is, oh, why don't they open up? I'm ready to get out of here. And finally, when it gets to be our turn, we get up there, and the checker, he's all cheerful, everything. Hi, how you doing? I'm, I'm pushing our little bug or carrying our bags out to the van, and all of a sudden, I think, you dummy. You're going to preach tomorrow about having gospel conversations and using the opportunities that you have to talk to people. You've got captive audiences all around you. Nobody's going nowhere, especially the people in front of me. You know, they're stuck. What an opportunity I had to engage with him. But did I do that? No, because I was thinking about myself. You see how burdens and opportunities link together? We have opportunities, but we have to be aware of them. So what can we do to become more aware of the opportunities that we have to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the people that we encounter? Let me give you some suggestions. First, pray. I know. Every church answer starts with pray about it. But it's true. Don't dismiss it. Pray. Pray that God will open doors of opportunity for you. Paul asked the Colossians and he asked the Ephesian churches to pray that he would have the opportunity to share the gospel boldly. So if Paul's going to ask for opportunities and Paul's going to ask for boldness and courage, friends, you and I need to pray the same way. Pray for those opportunities. Ask God to help you see the opportunities that you have. So that's praying in a general way. But let me encourage you to also develop a prayer list. Write down a list of names, list of people that you are praying for that God will give you the opportunity to talk to them. Maybe the number one name on your prayer list is a family member. Maybe a husband or a wife. Maybe it's a kid. Maybe it's your parent. Maybe it's your sister or your brother. And I know talking to your family members, your close family members, that's the toughest thing in the world. But friend, if you will talk to God about your loved one before you try to talk to your loved one about God, God is going to, He's going to make that way open for you. Develop a prayer list of people you're praying for particularly. I saw this just yesterday. Somebody suggested making a tic-tac-toe board. Getting a piece of paper and draw out a tic-tac-toe board, a little grid. And on that grid, in the middle, that's your house. And then all around, think about the eight people, the eight homes that are closest to you. Okay? Now, you might have to drive a mile into town, Thompson's, you know, but think about who's closest to you. Write their names down and start praying for them. Are they Christians? Praise God. Pray that they will have the opportunity to share. Maybe you say, oh, you know what? I don't even know my neighbor who lives next door. You know, we live in a day and age where that's kind of true sometimes. We don't know who's living right next door. Maybe you just go and introduce yourself. You get to know them. You start praying for them. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for the people in front of you and behind you, to your left, to your right. Pray for those folks closest to you. Pray for the people you work with. Pray for folks in this church that come on a weekly basis, but they've never made a profession of faith. Awana workers, Sunday school teachers, pray for those kids. So the first thing that we can do to become more aware of the opportunities we have gospel conversations is to pray. The second thing we can do is start frequenting the same places. I bet a lot of you are already doing that. You go to the same place at the same time. You start seeing the same people. You have the opportunity to talk. You have the opportunity to share. When you're sitting waiting to get your hair done at Kay's and you see the same people coming and going, some of them, praise God, are Christians. I would imagine some of them may not be. As you go to the same places, you go to the pool this summer, if summer ever comes. You're gonna see the same people. You go the same time of day, you know, same days of the week. You start seeing and bumping into the same people over and over and over again. Those are opportunities to have gospel conversations with people. Frequent the same places. A third thing you can do is share meals with others. Now, I'm not talking about trying to ambush somebody. You know, maybe you've had one of these invitations. I had somebody invite me and say, "Hey, I'd like for you to come over to my house, and you know, we'll have dinner together." I said, "Oh yeah, that's good." And then all of a sudden, I realized what he's really wanting me to do is come over to listen to this marketing spiel. You know, I was like, "Oh man, no, I don't think I want to do that." I'm not talking about ambushing somebody with, but what I am talking about is building a relationship with people. And in the natural course of getting to know them and them getting to know you, they start opening their hearts. You're going to have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. So share meals with people. Invite coworkers to lunch. Go get a coffee with people that you know. Invite your neighbors to dinner. Have a barbecue this summer and say, "I'm going to invite everybody in the neighborhood." You know, you can get hot dogs cheap at Walmart. You can do that. If you invite steak, invite me too. That'd be great. I'll talk to your neighbor. Fourth thing you can do, join groups outside the church. Service group, social groups, clubs, teams. Get involved in the community outside of church. And do it with the intention of saying, "Yeah, I want to get to know people. I want to serve my community. I want to do this because it's fun." But in the course of it, you get to know people and you have the opportunity to share. You have the opportunity to have a gospel conversation. So some of you guys, you're big golfers. You've got the opportunity right there. You know, and some of those guys, you know, they need Jesus because of the way they talk and the way they act and stuff. You know, you right there. You know, maybe you like to go fishing, or maybe you're quilting. I don't know, whatever you do. But whatever it is that you do, there's an opportunity to engage with people. The thing that I like to do, my hobby, is board games. I know you're thinking Monopoly. No, this is much better than that. But I enjoy playing board games. And there's a board game shop in Peoria. And as I have the opportunity, I go up there and I get together with guys that work at CAT, and I got a buddy that I made who works for Ameren, and we get together and we play some of these complex games, and it's a lot of fun. And over time, we've developed relationships with them, and I've been able to share the gospel with some of them. I think about one guy in particular. His name is Heinz. He was from Germany, and he came over here, and his family's here, and he's an American citizen. But we were talking not long ago about all that seems to be going wrong. You know, we were talking about the president, and we're talking about all the protests and stuff, and he was just frustrated. And he's like, "Oh, I don't know if anything's going to fix this." And all of a sudden, the door opened for me to talk about Christ. I started sharing the gospel with him. Another time, we're hanging out and we're spending some time, and this guy, he finds out I'm a preacher. You know, I try not to let that out, you know, because it makes people act weird. And but he finds out, "Oh, you're a preacher." "Yeah." "Well, you know, we're all working for the same place. We're all trying to get to we're all doing our best to get there." I said, "You know, it's really interesting that you say that, because the Bible tells us that we can't do enough. We can't work our way there. It's only by trusting in Jesus." What I'm trying to say to you is you have opportunities. You start praying. You start going to the same places. You get involved in the lives of other people. You just do the things that you like to do, but you are aware that as you're doing them, you have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. And you do that because you have a burden and you have the opportunity. There's a third thing that you need. You see, you could have a burden. You say, I need to share. You have the opportunity. The door opens. But you're not going to share the gospel. You're not going to talk to Bob and have a conversation about Jesus with him unless you have boldness. And I think this might be where we stumble. I think most of you in here really do care about people. You love folks. You love your family. You love your neighbors. You know without Jesus they're going to go to hell, and you don't want that. You're really burdened. You got some opportunities, and you know right here, right now, I can say something, but you chicken out. I've chickened out before. In order to share the gospel with Bob, in order to have that gospel conversation, you have to have boldness. Jesus did not hesitate to share the gospel with this woman. He engaged in a conversation with her. He didn't hesitate. He didn't pull any punches. He was very candid and honest and tender and loving. If you go on to read the rest of this chapter, he gets real personal with her. You know, she kind of pushes back a little bit, and Jesus pushes right back in a respectful but honest way. And he tells her the truth. He's bold. He's not embarrassed. He's not ashamed. Thank you, Sarah and Abigail, for singing, "I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel." May we not be ashamed. May we be bold. To be bold, you and I have to believe the gospel ourselves. I don't mean just say we believe it. Oh, yeah, I kind of believe it. I mean really believe it. Deep down in our hearts, more than you believe anything else, you got to believe the gospel. In order to be bold, you don't only have to believe the gospel. You need to be clear on what the gospel is. You need to be crystal clear on what the gospel is. The gospel is God made us, and He is the one true God to whom we owe everything. But we have sinned against Him. We've disobeyed. We said, God, we don't care about You. We want to go our own way. And when we do that, it's called sin, and sin separates us from God. And God is the source of everything that is good. God Himself is good, and God is love. And we turn our backs on Him, and it wrecks our lives in 10,000 ways. We're separated from God, but God loves us. And so Jesus came and He died on the cross so that our sins would be forgiven. The penalty of our disobedience would be washed away. And we are received back into fellowship with God. God loves us and accepts us, and He gives us an eternal home with Him. And He makes us His. In order to receive this gift, we have to believe. Put our trust in Jesus. That's the gospel. How many of you know John 3:16? Anybody? You know enough to share the gospel. You don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to have 25 years of perfect attendance in Sunday school before you are qualified to share the gospel. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you know John 3:16, and you're bold enough to share, you're good to go. Now, what if somebody asks you a question you can't answer? Hey, join the club. People ask me all kinds of crazy stuff I don't know the answer to. You say, I don't know about that. But I do know that Jesus loves you, and He died on the cross for you, and you need Him. People do all sorts of things. You go on and you read in John chapter 4, this woman, she wanted to try to talk about the place of worship. And, you know, you worship on this mountain, we worship on that mountain. Jesus said, yeah, that's all right. Don't worry about that. Let me tell you, you need to believe in Me. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you know John 3:16, you know enough to share. You just got to be bold enough to share it. Boldness comes when we know that God is with us and He will give us the strength to share. So in the end, you just have to step out in faith. Step over your fears. and open your mouth. You won't do it wrong. You really won't. I mean, sometimes there are better ways than others to do it. But in the end, God can use anybody. God used a donkey to talk to a hard-headed prophet. How much more will He use you if you just simply say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me." I've asked you this morning to think about Bob. A person that you have a burden for. A person that you have the opportunity to have a gospel conversation with. And a person with whom you will be bold enough to actually talk and share. Who's the Bob in your life? Today, if you're not a Christian, somewhere, sometime, you need to have a conversation. I'd love to have that conversation with you. I'd love to be able to talk with you about the good news that Jesus is Savior and Lord. Grab me after service. Grab Michael. Grab one of these other Christians. Please don't leave the building before you talk to somebody. Today, if you're a Christian, you know, somewhere along the way, you had a gospel conversation with somebody else. It may have taken just a few minutes, or it may have taken months, or even years. You may have had lots of questions, or you may have simply said, "Yes, I believe that," when you heard the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the gift of eternal life. But if you're a Christian today, somebody talked to you. Will you be the one to talk to somebody else now? I'm so thankful that we've had 216 gospel conversations among our membership this year. So thankful to hear that three people have come to faith in Christ as a result of these gospel conversations. The most recent one Corky was telling me about. She sent me a text. I love getting these texts. You send me a text anytime. She was it Mission Mart? Yeah. She was Mission Mart, and she met a young man named Sydney, and Sydney's having stuff going on in his life, and she just shares the gospel. Sydney comes to faith in Christ. He makes a profession of faith. And Courtney, she's "You wait right here. I'm going back in there and getting a Bible." And she gets a Bible and takes it to him. That's amazing. Courtney didn't do anything supernaturally extraordinary that you and I can't do. Courtney she had a burden for lost people. She had the opportunity and she was bold enough to speak. And today Sydney knows Jesus. Corky was successful, not because Sydney made a profession of faith, but because she had the conversation. Friend, you will be counted successful if you just have a conversation with people. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that he said, "I planted, Apollos, he watered, but it's God who gives the increase." You don't save anybody. That's God's job. Our job is just to share. So will you do that today? Let's pray. Father, we think about the Bobs in our lives. The family members, the friends, the coworkers, the neighbors, the people we bump into on a regular basis at the gym, at the beauty shop, at Bob Evans, at the grocery store, over at Jack's. People who need Jesus. Father, I pray that today you would give us a burden for the lost people in our lives and around us. You would give us the opportunity to have a gospel conversation with them. And you would give us the boldness to open our mouths and speak the good news that you love the world so much, you sent your one and only Son to die, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we're thankful for those who are called and considered to be evangelists. I don't know if we're evangelists, but just help us to be people who share the gospel. Help us to do the work of evangelism. In Jesus' name, amen.